A bit
You can
rusty,
tell
mate.
we've been away from him quite a while. Hello and welcome to Goals on Film, Edge of the Crowd's dedicated sports movies podcast. I'm your host, Jason. I've got Stewie and Kieran joining me this week. How are the two of you?
I'm doing really well. Really excited to be back with Goals on Film, and we have got a fantastic movie for the big return. Kieran, how are you going, pal?
Sorry about the delay there. I was a little bit half asleep, but I am good. I watched this movie last night, so fresh in my mind. But it's third time I've seen it, if you count flicking onto it, just when it comes on Foxtel. So I've seen it a couple of times. I really like it.
All right, cool. Well, let's get into what movie we are talking about this week. On our return, we've been away for a couple of weeks, but we are returning with a good movie, as you said, Stewie. This week we are looking at Fighting With My Family. It is a 2019 biographical wrestling drama movie depicting the life of WWE wrestler Paige in the early days. And so the film starts off with Paige and her and her brother Zach wanting to try out for the WWE's NXT program to try and get into the professional wrestling sphere. Unfortunately for Zach, Paige is the only one of the two to be selected to the program. And so Paige goes over to Florida to try out to be the next women's WWE Diva champion. You know, there's some ups and downs both between Paige and herself and Zach as well back at home. But ultimately, while Paige is thinking about quitting as well, she ultimately does feel like she can overcome her feelings that she's and her emotions that she's feeling. And she finally gets onto the NXT program before finally making her WWE debut as well and winning in a monumental moment. So, Stewie, Kieran, having watched the movie, what did you think of it?
Like I said in the intro, mate, I thought it was really good. It's a movie that, you know, as we kind of discussed earlier, could easily have fallen by the wayside, but saved by some tremendous performances, some fantastic directing, which I think Kieran's going to get into later. And it's just a good time. I can't recommend this movie high enough.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. Like I said, it's probably the second or third time I've seen it. It's a really easy movie to watch. And I think that's because it's kept small. Like a movie about wrestling could easily be huge. It could incorporate all sorts of characters. There's like endless list of characters you could draw from in WWE. But he keeps it focused mainly on her family. That's the title. And really a cast of about five or six characters. It doesn't really go beyond that. And that helps it feel like, well, we'll get into it later, what Stephen Merchant's best at. And I think just the movie makes it really easy to watch and really enjoyable.
Yeah, I think that this movie is one that is beautifully well done. I think that even the most sort of, casual observer of wrestling, or even if you had no idea about anything to do with wrestling, I think that, you know, it's an easy movie to watch for an hour and three quarters. The pace keeps really, you know, going along really well. I think that, you know, you're never really sort of like out of it at all. I think that it really tells or goes into the details about sort of the inner workings of the wrestling world, I think. And so I think that for me, especially, I sort of have no idea about the world of WWE. I sort of have some of those preconceived ideas that some people might have about how it's all fake, which, you know, gets debunked in this movie with Paige's dad saying it's fixed, not fake.
Courtney tells us that you're all wrestlers.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes,
all family.
All family are wrestlers.
And our half-brother, Roy.
So what sort of people enjoy wrestling?
That's a good question.
I mean, it's all fake anyway, isn't it? So it's just...
Come again?
It's not fake, it's fixed.
Yeah, if it was fake, would I have broken half the bones of my body, Def?
His left leg bends both ways.
Well, that's nothing. You should see his con.
Mum.
Sorry. Penis. You should see his penis.
And so I had a bit of a chuckle there. I was like, okay, yeah, okay. I can see how it's fixed instead of fake. I can see how that would be an apt descriptor. But I think that, yeah, it really shows the world of wrestling in a really, you know, sort of good way. And, you know, it makes you sort of like feel like, you know, while you might think that wrestling or WWE is fake and what happens in this movie is fake, it is all real. And I think that that really comes across really well in both the storytelling, in both the dialogue, in these characters. I think it's all really explored well.
Yeah, just to your point, mate, I think, you know, we all really enjoyed this movie. And on this podcast, we've got a perfect cross-section of, you know, people's relationships, perhaps, with wrestling and WWE. I, myself, am a long-time fan. Kieran is a casual watcher, and you don't know the WWE from a bar of soap. And the fact that we all love the movie, I think, speaks volumes.
Yeah, and I just want to say as well that it's a good enough movie that Vince Vaughn's in it, and that's okay. Because sometimes Vince Vaughn can be in a thing, and it's, aside from maybe Dodgeball and Swingers, maybe Wedding Crashers. If Vince Vaughn's in something, it's enough for me to go, I'm not really into this. But Vince Vaughn's in this movie, and it's okay.
What about Old School? He's great in Old School too.
You can make that movie without him.
Yeah, I think that just a bit of a fun fact before we do move on. So this movie is sort of based on a documentary at the same time, a Channel 4 documentary from 2012 called The Wrestlers Fighting With My Family. And so Dwayne Johnson, he was actually filming Fast and Furious 6 in the UK when he discovered this documentary on TV in his hotel room about a crazy English family of wrestlers. And the underdog aspect of it instantly appealed to him, prompting him to contact British writer Stephen Merchant about developing the story into a feature-length biopic. And so Merchant, he also plays a character in the film. Yeah, they'd actually starred together too in The Tooth Fairy. Little known fun fact there. But yeah, I think that sort of, you know, Dwayne Johnson noticing this documentary of this family, wanting to do something about it. He actually has a pretty big, some big scenes in this movie as well.
Sorry about that.
Rock.
We're huge fans.
Thank you so much.
We've been fans since you had hair.
Oh, thank you. Hey, it's a choice. It's a damn good one too. See you guys.
Rock.
You.
We're wrestlers as well, actually.
We're actually doing the tryouts today.
Oh, cool.
What advice would you give us if we want to
win over the crowd?
Win over the crowd.
What are your names again?
My name.
It doesn't matter what your names are. You walk around here interrupting the Rock, you like you haven't seen the sun in 20 years. You like you just stepped out of Oliver Twist. Please, sir, may I have some more advice, sir? You want some advice? Here's the Rock's advice. Shut your mouth. What you want. How about what the Rock wants? The Rock wants you to go out there, take no prisoners, have no regrets, have no fear. Lay it all out on the line. Because if you don't do that, The Rock is going to find your friend, Mary Poppins. He's going to take her umbrella. Yeah, he's going to shine it up real nice. He's going to turn that sumbitch sideways and stick it straight up your candy asses. There's your advice. Straight out of the jabroni beating, pie eating, trail blazing, eyebrow raising, entertaining the globe never hotter, talking to two rejects from Harry Potter. So that's how you win over the crowd.
Yeah.
But just an interesting story about how Dwayne Johnson came across this story. But I think that perfectly leads us into you talking about Stephen Merchant, Kieran, as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that this is kind of the second film that he's directed, and the first one without Ricky Gervais' involvement, the first one outside of England, really. I mean, it's set in England, but it's the first movie that's not made by an English company or made by a small production company. It's his first big budget film to effect. So it's interesting. It's like it's a really good effort for his first major feature film. You know, starring people like The Rock and Nick Frost. These are bankable names. Florence Pugh is a bankable name, even at this point in her career. So he's done really well with this. I think what he does, I mentioned at the start, is that he keeps it small. So it is about the family. I mean, you really only know their names, and you don't really really know who Vince Vaughn's name is. You just know his character and that sort of thing. So you can get a real quick idea of everyone's relationships and who they are to each other. And that feeds into the humor, so you can see the jokes where they're coming from, and you learn who the characters are really quickly. So you learn the humor and you learn the stakes and what everyone wants, and that makes the movie work really really well. I think that's what Stephen Merchant does at his best. You know, he's done that with what's he directed on TV? He's directed The Office, obviously, which is similarly small cast. There's about 10 people that are the core of that series in the UK. And same with the extras. There's maybe about 5 or 6 regular characters and then a couple and guest stars every episode. And then he does the same thing with Hello Ladies. There's a really small cast. There's about 4 or 5 people in that show. And that's what he does best. He has people in a room talking, and that's most of his work. And it works really well, this, when they expand it beyond the living room. He still keeps that same feel. If at the wrestling camp or at training, you know who everyone is and what they're trying to achieve. And so he does it very well. He keeps it funny, keeps it light, and he keeps it heartfelt, because you get to know the characters very quickly.
We'll now go into our segment where we talk about references to history in this movie. And as we have sort of explained, it is based upon the life of Paige. And so it is a semi-biographical movie. But we will get into it as well, and we'll get into it sort of right from the start of the movie. And so the opening scene features montages of The Rock winning the WWE Championship from Triple H, which happened in King of the Ring 2000, in a 6-way tag team match featuring The Rock, The Undertaker, and Kane against Triple H, Shane McMahon, and Mr. McMahon. And Stewie, you immediately said it right from the start when we were watching it, that really brought you back.
Yes. Late teens, early 20s, Stewie was probably mid-teens, early 20s, Stewie was very much in that WWE, WWF, as it was at the time, sphere. I couldn't get enough of it. And it was just great. It was good nostalgia for, wrestling tragics like myself, just to see some of the glory days of some of my famous favorite wrestlers. And I think the way that they used real stuff throughout the movie as well was really smartly done. Like Kieran mentioned off mic when we were preparing before, like with WWE, it very easily could have just gotten out of control. Endless list of characters. I'm sure they've got strong thoughts on production values and things like that. But they definitely went with a kind of less is more motif, I suppose, with intersplicing those that real life footage. So I think it was really well done. And it really gave someone like myself, but I'm sure I'm not the only one like myself out there, just a nice healthy dose of that nice nostalgia that we all love.
And since it's in a time period too, you sort of know exactly, if you're a fan, you know exactly when this is taking place without having to put up, they do these with biopics, they make goofy references to like, oh, she's the prime minister or whatever like that. They don't have to do any of that. Yeah. They just show what's happening in the wrestling world. And a lot of people will sort of gather, this is at least before The Rock was a movie star. So you put in a time period.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. That is something that this movie does fantastically well as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think that, it did a really good job. Like, we've obviously mentioned The Rock there and that archive footage at the start. And I think that I sort of alluded to it, but may not have said it either just before. But they sort of like do a really good job at bringing in or having professional wrestlers in the movie in whatever capacity, whether they were at the tryouts, for instance. And so there were a couple of real professional wrestlers that were at the tryouts. And so professional wrestler Bomber Dave Mastiff is trying out. Alex Cupid was there at the tryouts as well. And so I feel like adding them in there is really nice. But then at the same time, you've got like the other level of like the professional wrestlers, and like we mentioned at the start as well, like sort of Sheamus being there as well, a couple of others as well. And so I think that it really did a good job at like bringing these professional wrestlers in whatever capacity, whether it was like a possible fictionalized version of themselves or a real life version of themselves. I think that that really set it in its time period as well, and also really like brought it back to, this, they're actually part of this universe. They're actually depicting this universe really well, based on who they're having make these cameos.
Yeah, see, that kind of, if I may be so bold, Jason, that kind of speaks to the point I was making as well with the WWE stuff. Like, I'm sure that there was the temptation to maybe shoehorn a lot of wrestlers into this movie, considering the cast that they managed to put together. I think they erred on the side of caution and once again went with kind of the less is more kind of thing. And, you know, it just brings me back to my point I made just a couple of minutes ago when I said we have a great cross-section of people's knowledge of wrestling on this podcast. And every one of us loved it. And I think if they even went 5% more or maybe even 5% less, that would have thrown the whole balance of the movie off.
Would have been too many in-jokes. And because it was WWE produced as well, if they wanted, say, John Cena or the Bella Twins in there, they would have had to do it because it's the production company. They're contracted to show up in stuff like this. So it was a real effort of restraint from Stephen Merchant to not go over the top with that, when it would have been like the scene at the buffet where they're arguing about, you're making me eat pies to make me feel bad about my body.
Hamburger was free food.
You know I'm an emotional eater. You're enabling me now. This is going to make me gain weight.
You burn it off in the ring. It's great. Look at the
I can't burn it off.
As much as you want.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm a massive fan.
Cool.
Thanks.
It's free, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's free.
Yeah. You want to leave some for the rest of us there? Yeah.
Come with me. Have a good match, boys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
If she can eat a you.
Don't eat a hot dog.
Here.
No, I don't. Do you know what's in a hot dog?
They could have easily like piled them full of shit like that, just cutaways to wrestlers being funny, and they didn't do it. And the movie's all the better for it.
Absolutely.
All right, just a bit more about how it depicts history. Scenes from this movie were shot in the Staples Center in LA after WWE Monday Night Raw in March of 2017. And this included a recreation of the match between Paige and AJ Lee. And so this was actually a bit different as well as to what happened in real life to what they showed on the movie screen, which I think that throughout the many episodes of Girls on Film, we have established, you know, can happen in terms of creativity and, you know, giving people a creative license, especially with movies. But the difference between what they showed in the movie versus what happened in real life, relating to this particular battle, this particular match in the ring, is that the movie depicts the crowd as being silent and not knowing who she was, when in real life, in the real match, Paige was actually met with loud cheers by the crowd, as she was very well known to wrestling due to her time in the NXT. And I'm pretty sure she was NXT champion before she made her WWE debut. And so the movie sort of glosses over that. And so perhaps with, like, you know, that context, like, a, you know, just a watcher of this movie wouldn't know, you know, would think that like her rise was just like overnight sort of thing, but it really wasn't. And so people did know who she was. And so the movie makes it seem like she was just brought up from basic training and made champion overnight. But I think that so many diehard wrestling fans were in the building. She obviously made the roster and had worked hard to make the roster, but she definitely wasn't an unknown at that point.
Yeah, like you kind of alluded to, mate, they do this a lot in sports movies. I think they just try and up the dramatic stakes a little bit. And Kieran filled me in prior to recording that apparently a lot of wrestling fans are disappointed by that. I was here for it. I mean, you know, I'm not on the payroll of this movie or anything, but they just did a fantastic job. And honestly, I don't think I'll change a thing.
Yeah, I was probably going to get to it later, but it's on my mind now that it's got like a weird sort of, it's got a weird sort of relationship with Florence Pugh's career. If you look at Paige's career, so she's before this movie, she's done some interesting stuff, but nothing big. So she did like The Commuter, which is, I think it was a piece of shit. She did The Outlaw King, which is all right. And then she did this movie, which is kind of like her big coming out thing, like Paige in the story. And then after this movie, she goes Midsummer, Little Women, Black Widow, Don't Worry, Darling, which is, you know, I haven't seen, but apparently it's weird. And then she's got Puss in Boots, which is a massive hit. And then she's got Oppenheimer and Dune Part 2 coming out. So, like, this movie was Paige's big coming out moment to a national audience or international audience. This is Florence Pugh's big breakout as well.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And I think it's also funny, right, that Florence Pugh was in Black Widow, and there was a move that Paige did at the end, which the commentator referred to as Black Widow.
I didn't catch that.
That went straight over my head too, but fantastic.
I see he's a freak of an actress. Like those are 1, 2, 3, 4. Those are like 6 different, very different movies and very different performances. And she's just as believable as Paige as she is in Little Women as Amy March. Like she's a chameleon. I really like Florence Pugh. I think she's great.
She was nominated for an Oscar for Little Women, wasn't she?
I would assume. I thought everyone was for that movie. Like, yeah, I think so. She's really good at it, though. Like, everyone's good at it.
Absolutely.
I'll just continue a little bit more about this final match. The movie makes out that Paige had moments of stage fright with the microphone, whereas this never happened. Like I said, she was NXT champion and had been for several months when she made her Raw debut. And AJ Lee knew who she was too and didn't say, you know, who are you, over and over. She did say, what are you doing here, to Paige? And Paige replied quickly and confidently in the microphone why she was there. And, in the movie, obviously, Paige was too nervous to speak. When she gets into the ring, fan shouts out, do something, and the crowd begins to boo, and then AJ slaps Paige. And then when in reality, Paige stepped into the ring and congratulated AJ Lee for winning WrestleMania the night before. This prompted Lee to slap Paige for interrupting her. So the slap happened, but just not in the same circumstances.
It's like another weird level, isn't it? Of like most sports movies are dramatizing a real event. This is dramatizing
a dramatization
of a sport. Yeah. It's like it's a very meta sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's almost like the WWE writers went, we could probably make that a little bit better on the second time around. So we'll rewrite that.
Yeah. I mean, similarly as well, like Paige never gave a heartfelt in-ring speech about winning for her family or outcasts either.
I am a freak from Norwich, England. And I have dreamt of this since I was 13 years old. And it's not just mine, it belongs to my family. It belongs to anyone who ever felt like they are the freak from Norwich, the oddballs, the outsiders, the ones that don't belong. My name is Paige, and this is my house now!
She just simply took the win, exited the ring, headed towards the stage entrance, gave no speech at all, while AJ Lee looked on in astonishment, really, that she'd just lost. So, but yeah, I kind of liked that speech from Paige at the end as well. Like, you know, it sort of brought it back to the reason why she sort of came back to wrestling after wanting to quit, and obviously the reason behind wanting to do it. So I think that, like, they both sort of work powerfully, I think, you know, just taking the win and walking out, especially after your first big match. But I think that at the same time, like, you want that heartfelt moment on the screens, really. I mean, I guess, like, the hugs with the other girls was ultimately on the screen as well, because it's all, you know, live TV. But I think that, they both sort of work hand in hand. So I don't know. I think that I liked that speech that she gave at the end, but if they had have done it in the real way that it happened in that particular match, I wouldn't have been opposed to that either, I don't think. Just a couple of other references to history to round this out. In the film, Paige dyes her hair blonde and gets a fake tan. She did do this in real life for her first WWE tryouts, but the scouts were not impressed. They were looking for something different. And on Paige's second WWE tryout, she embraced the iconic goth look, which she had been known for, and then got the job. And stunt doubles were actually used for the wrestling, or stunt doubles for the wrestling scenes were done by Thea Trinidad, whose ring name is Zelina Vega. So again, using professional wrestlers in this movie. She portrays AJ Lee, and Tessa Blanchard portrays Paige in the ring. Vega made her own debut in WWE shortly after the filming of the film. Blanchard performed in WWE's inaugural Mae Young Classic All-Women's Wrestling Tournament in 2017, and then went on to become one of the most respected female wrestlers on the independent scene. So I think that similarly to Paige, I think that Paige's win, we got the end credits there at the end, which sort of said something about Paige's win changing the landscape of, you know, women's wrestling going forward or something like that. And so I feel like that's, you know, this moment of Tessa Blanchard becoming one of the most respected female wrestlers on the independent scene just sort of works in that way too. So I guess it's been sort of a good sort of decade or so for women's wrestling. And, you know, it's all, you know, they alluded to Paige's impact here. They've brought in people who have had that same impact. So I think that as well, like this movie might just be sort of a celebration of women's wrestling and how it's sort of changed and evolved since all these things happened.
So if I can put my wrestling nerd hat on just for a second here, one thing that they did actually nail in that post-credits text that they flash up there quite often in biopic films, Paige really did herald in a new era of women's wrestling. And it was just a couple of years later that there was, for the first time ever, women main eventing WrestleMania. And that's, you know, swiftly become the norm in more recent years. So, yeah.
All right, we will move on now and we will talk about how well this film depicts the sport. I think that we have sort of gone into it at times throughout this episode so far. And I think there are some other things to possibly discuss. The only thing that I have is that Vince Vaughn's character sees the new recruits through all facets of training. But there are individual coaches for each individual aspect of the wrestler's development at the WWE Performance Center. So that's the only thing that I found. Was there anything, you know, different that, you know, you guys can sort of take from your experience of possibly knowing about wrestling or the world of wrestling and just sort of, yeah, either if it's from like that, you know, grassroots or, you know, that real low-level stuff or if to the WWE that you can sort of say, you know, yes, they did that right or yes, they got that wrong. Is there anything like that that you know, sort of saw in that movie or, you know, thought about?
I can't speak to the technicalities of the wrestling, but it looks and feels the same as it does on TV, which shouldn't be surprising because they're recreating, like we said, something that is rehearsed to an extent. So yeah, they've obviously gone through a lot of effort to make it look and feel like it does when you're just watching it on the television. So that felt real to me. I don't remember seeing any of this when it actually happened, but none of it feels like it's it all feels real as wrestling can anyway.
So I think that's a testament to it being a WWE production as well. I think in another production company's hands, it could have got a little bit messy. But because, you know, pro wrestling is their bread and butter, it was definitely the right production company to make sure this vehicle was heading in the right direction. So as far as, you know, how well it depicted the sport, I mean, I have no notes, really. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I think, like, also the fact that Dwayne Johnson was one of the people who, or one of the producers of this movie, I think that definitely helps as well. Like, obviously, yeah, like you said, you know, it sort of is endorsed by the WWE But I think that, you know, having, you know, Dwayne Johnson on as a producer, I think that really helped it sort of like steer it in the right direction or keep it on track to really get that essence of what WWE is like or even just like that pathway as well. I really enjoyed seeing the, you know, the low-level stuff of when, when they were training with their parents. And I really liked how you saw every level of the development up through the WWE. So I think that they did that really well.
I think you hit the nail on the head with the with Dwayne Johnson being involved. I mean, what isn't he involved in these days? But one thing that does bring to mind is the TV series Young Rock, which is you know, loosely based on his life. And there's a lot of wrestling that is not at that WWE level in that TV show as well. And much like Kieran was describing, and you've kind of alluded to there as well, Jace, it just feels right when you watch it. So, you know, he's famously from a wrestling family, and he's got his roots in the business. So I think he probably had a big hand in just making sure that it was translated well onto the big screen.
Yeah, it's a good testament to Stephen Merchant again as well, because apparently he had no interest in professional wrestling or wasn't a fan of it, never seen it, never watched it. When he did this movie, so Dwayne Johnson took him to WrestleMania to get him a look at it, and that's one of the first times he'd ever seen it. So he would have come in with the attitude of trying to get it right as a filmmaker than trying to get it right as a wrestling fan or trying to get it to what he thinks it should look like. He would have just done exactly what he felt he needed to do to get the story across.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point too. The fact that he wasn't, Stephen Merchant we're talking about here, wasn't a wrestling fan and is a filmmaker and involved in, you know, the show business, the business of show business, I suppose. And just getting that look at it and, like you just said, wanting to get it right for the screen, I think that's probably a testament to Stephen Merchant as well. Yeah,
it's a thing with these sort of movies like, I mean, we did Escape to Victory and John Huston did not like football. That was pretty obvious. But, John Avildsen, who directed the first Rocky, hated boxing. Like, he didn't just not like it. He was opposed to it. He thought it was just a disgusting sport, didn't have time for it. So I think that sort of shows when he made the movie that the fight scenes are brutal and realistic because he just didn't want to gloss over anything.
Yeah, no, excellent points that you've made there. And I think that, yeah, it all just contributes to, or, you know, continues to, you know, confirm, I think, what we've talked about so many times throughout this podcast already, that, like, you know, they've really got what WWE was all about, and, you know, just like the connections but in, you know, sort of the WWE universe and how things might play out. And, yeah, just like the sort of inner workings of that sort of, you know, universe or that sort of scene and that sort of environment. And I think that, yeah, I think that everything that they did about this movie, whether it was, whether you did have an interest in wrestling or not, I think has certainly helped. And, you know, I think, like I said at the start as well, I think that whether a viewer of this movie knows about wrestling or not, I think that by having people involved in the film who are those both opposite sides of knowing about wrestling and understanding it, I think that they, like the sort of two sides of what an audience could be, I think it just works to all sort of come together and create this product, which, you know, we've all been very we've all spoken about very highly. All right, let's move on to looking at the cast now. And I'll just run you through the main cast list. And so we had Florence Pugh as Soraya Page Bevis. We had Lena Headley as Julia Sweet Soraya Knight Hamer. Nick Frost played Patrick Rowdy Ricky Knight Bevis. Jack Loudon played Zach Zodiac Knight Bevis. Vince Vaughn played Hutch Morgan. And Dwayne Johnson played himself. And so thinking about that cast, and, you know, you can obviously reference the wider cast as well, because we had so many people involved in this movie. What did you make of it? Is there anyone's performance that you particularly want to pick apart and talk about?
I think this is a great opportunity for me to just wax lyrical about the ability of a production company like WWE to get a director like Stephen Merchant, to get actors of the caliber of Florence Pugh, Lena Headley, Nick Frost, despite Kieran's reservations, Vince Vaughn as well. I think it's just a fantastically put together cast, and I mean, the story is good, right? It's a tale as old as time. Maybe in a different costume than usual, if I could use some wrestling parlance. But the fact that they put together this just absolutely stellar cast, and I'm not sure if you said it off mic, Kieran, or if you said it during the recording, but no, you definitely said it during the recording. Florence Pugh, you know, it was a big breakout movie for her, and now she is one of the biggest stars on the planet. I mean, I don't know how big of a star Nick Frost is, but I'll go see anything that he's in. Lena Headey is massive. Vince Vaughn is a funny guy, Kieran. And I just wanted to, I really just wanted to underline that point that this cast is fantastic. Florence Pugh is probably the standout just by virtue of being the main character. I do want to give a shout out to her brother though, Jack Loudon or something like that. Was that right? Was that his name?
Yeah, Jack Loudon, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I thought he was tremendous to the point where I was thinking quite a bit last night, what else have I seen that guy in?
He's got one of those faces.
Yeah, yeah, I went to his IMDb page. He has been in nothing that I've seen before, but it would not surprise me to see him show up in some things in the very near future.
Yeah, I thought Nick Frost was really good in this. So he was fairly bankable star when this came out. You know, done Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz. He's in Attack the Block. I forgot he was in Attack the Block. Worlds, he'd just come off really The World's End. Cuban Fury was a big hit. So pretty much anything he was in was at least making money. So this was like, it was a good casting. He's playing against his normal type, which is usually like a kind of dopey Englishman. He's playing a bit more of a, you know, he's playing the patriarch of the family and you know, a bit of a hard man. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a different role for him, and he kills it. I think he's really funny in it. When you see the footage of actual dad at the end, you realize how much he nailed it. But going back to WWE Studios again, this is a really weird movie for them to do. This is like well beyond what they normally did. So I'll go through some of the sort of movies that WWE Studios makes. They make reality TV shows as well, like the Total Bellas, you know, about the Bella Twins and John Cena's relationship, which my wife got me into and got me hooked on, and it's great. But so WWE Studios is a film company, made The Scorpion King and The Rundown with The Rock. Then they've made like a bunch of movies with titles like The Condemned, 12 Rounds, Knucklehead, The Marine series with John Cena. They make shitty action movies, basically. They don't make small English sports movies, family comedies, basically. This is like the first time they've got Leprechaun Origins, Flintstones and WWE Stone Age SmackDown, Vendetta, and then they get to 2018 when they get to this movie, which is after like six Marine movies. So this is a real breakout for them as well to do something a little bit different. They haven't made a movie in 2 years because they had to retool during the pandemic. But yeah, this movie is a real change of direction for them. So it's nothing like they'd ever done before, and I think it's probably the best thing they did.
It does speak a lot to, you know, maybe they should try and step out of their comfort zone if they ever do return to making films. I am not proud to say I've seen many of those movies that you just run down, Kieran.
The Marines aren't bad. They're pretty good.
No, don't backtrack, mate. When you said shitty action films, that's exactly what they do, shitty action films. Yeah.
They're not good. I mean, they're easy movies to watch. They're not good movies.
Yeah. Sorry, something that just occurred to me, to Kieran's point as well, about this being like a very different venture for WWE Productions. A lot of their movies are usually vehicles to kind of take stars that they have in that wrestling sphere and try and put them into, you know, movies and TV and things like that. So that's another facet that kind of points to how much of a direction change this movie is.
Yeah, like if they follow the normal formula, they would have cast a young wrestler who was kind of on the verge of being a star in this movie as Paige, to show that she can be a movie star, but they didn't. Mm-hmm. They went and got a proper actress and got a proper director and a proper support cast. Like Lena Headey's, she's not doing anything for the money. She's doing it because it's a good script. She doesn't need the cash. Mm-hmm. And Nick Frost, likewise, he's got lots of things going on. He doesn't need the money. He usually directs or has a hand in directing a lot of his own stuff. So he had no creative input in this beyond his own character. And like, they just did everything right. There's no problems with this movie at all.
Yeah, and I think that, like you guys were saying, sort of referencing the, you know, the scenes that are playing during the credits of real life videos of these characters, of these real life people. I think that, you know, you could definitely look back on every one of these actors and say that they played their role to perfection. I think that, yeah, from both Florence Pugh, Lena Headey, Nick Frost, Jack Loudon, I think that, you know, you can definitely tell, you know, where the inspiration came from and just how, you know, how well they wanted to get it right in terms of the portrayal. And, yeah, I think that, like, even, like, Vince Vaughn, like, Hutch Morgan was a fictional character, I'm pretty sure. But even, like, he seemed believable to be a WWE recruiter and a coach. And, you know, like, yeah, like, if you didn't know that it was a fictional character, you would believe that he was also based off of someone. Like, he probably is, like, you know, there's inspiration. There's probably inspiration behind the character. But, you know, you'd think that Hutch Morgan was a real life person as well, who was instrumental in helping Paige get to the WWE and training her up and stuff. And so I think that's just a testament to Vince Vaughn as well. I definitely saw, you know, like, previous roles of Vince Vaughn in this as well. I was just like, sometimes I just like couldn't get out of, like, you know, seeing him in this particular role. Like, when I heard his voice, I was like, hey, that's similar to how he speaks in, you know, something else. And, you know, Dodgeball immediately came to mind every time, to be honest. I think that, yeah, I think that, and I don't think that's just like because, you know, Vince Vaughn plays sort of like the same character or like, you know, the same sort of tone of character or anything like that. I think that that's just, you know, the type of character that he might play. I think that, you know, I guess like Dodgeball and this movie are both about, like, you know, this sort of like coach or person who wants to, you know, be involved in a sports team and really like sort of rise up and want the best for people and, you know, be hard if he needs to and stuff like that. So I think that, like, that just comes across in Vince Vaughn as a character, especially in this movie, from what I observed anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Vince Vaughn is always going to Vince Vaughn, you know.
yeah. You either like it or you don't. It's not for me. It's like how it'd be like Adam Sandler. You either like his thing or you don't like his thing. I like Adam Sandler. Other people can't stand it. That's me with Vince Vaughn. I just can't. I can't with him. Can't with the way he's talking, and I can't with his yeah. I don't know. Even in Curb Your Enthusiasm, I can't with Vince Vaughn. And I love that show.
But yeah, I think that I don't really have anything negative to say about any of these cast members. I think that Florence Pugh, I think that, like you guys said, breakout role, was definitely the star of this movie, being the main character. But I think that, you know, I think that all these characters, I think, you know, obviously might be highlighted by the end of that real life footage of these people. But I think that even before you saw all that, if you just focused on the movie itself, I think that, you know, like, every one of these actors who played one of these roles, you know, like, even if they weren't based on real life characters, you would believe them that they would be these types of characters. And I think that that's really important for a movie to sort of convey, even if it is based on a true story.
Yeah, if this is a totally fictional story and it wasn't based on true story, it would still be just as effective as a movie, I reckon.
I just have a fun fact here about Nick Frost, Kieran. So Soraya Jade Bevis, so Paige, said that her dad was disappointed that he was going to be played by Nick Frost because he didn't know who Nick Frost was. He wanted to be played by Ray Winstone.
I could see that.
But when he saw Nick Frost's performance, he said, he's actually pretty good, ain't he?
I can see Ray Winstone doing it, but Ray Winstone doesn't know where the joke is. So that line I love is when, I didn't know it was actually a real line to the end in credits, when he's having dinner with Stephen Merchant as his son's girlfriend's parents. And they say, well, have you been in prison for 8 years for? And he goes, oh, mostly violence.
How did you get into wrestling?
It is quite a romantic story.
We like romantic stories.
Oh, also. Right, we like this one. Mm. Well, when I met Rick, I was thinking of killing myself.
Pills.
I was homeless, abused, living on the street, you know.
Yep.
I myself had done 8 years in prison.
Prison? What was that for?
Mainly violence.
Mainly violence, yeah.
Bit of armed robbery, you know.
Anyway, I came back to the flat one night and there was guns, money on the table, everything.
So there was guns and...
Money.
Guns and money,
yeah.
Right?
You've done a job, haven't you? And I looked at him...
The look said, essentially, Ricky, turn your back on crime. Otherwise, I'm going to turn my back on you.
And he did.
That's what I did.
Never look back. Some people find religion, but wrestling, we found wrestling, didn't we? It was our salvation.
We found each other and all.
Yeah.
Like, that's a very Stephen Merchant office-y type of joke. And that's actually a real thing the guy said. And Nick Frost delivers it perfectly. Like, it's just the sort of shrug, mostly violence, bit of armed robbery, bit of thieving. Just like low-key English style, like bit of thieving, bit of mostly violence. Like, it's so vague. It's just such a brilliantly delivered line.
Yeah. And just one fun fact to finish off this segment. The real-life Zack Knight does actually appear in this movie as well. He appears as a gang lieutenant. So it's nice of them to include him in the movie in whatever way. Not as a wrestler, as, you know, his real-life person was in the end. So maybe this character was also upset at being... And not being a wrestler, but I don't know. But anyway, he was in this movie as well.
Can't even be a wrestler in his sister's biopic. That's a rough look.
Yep.
A Zodiac Zack.
We will move on now. And Stewie, before we get to your favourite prompt of the podcast, you have a prompt that you... want us to discuss. Do you want to ask us?
You want to know something. You know, when you have an idea before you do something and everyone in the group project's like, yeah, that's a fucking great idea. We should definitely do that. And then it comes time to implementing the idea and you've got fucking just bucket loads of regret. That's what's happening right now. But anyway, here we are. I just thought it would be fun if we tried to give ourselves wrestling monikers instead of trying to think of a movie. I'm equally unprepared for that as I would be for our movie prompts, but surely hilarity will ensue. And if I may be so bold yet again, Jason, why don't you go first, mate?
All right, I will. And so I have given this a little bit of thought, both in terms of the name and possibly, like, you know, a bit of a description about myself and, you know, like what I'd use, what, like, sort of like what I'd say in the ring, for instance. And so if I was a wrestler, my name would be the Oracle. And I would continue that by saying, I'm the Oracle because I can see into the future and you're going down.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
This is paying dividends already. Yeah, Aaron, that's a hard act to follow, pal.
I was going to go with the sleepwalker because I'm a habitually lazy person, just kind of cruises through the day pretending to be awake most of the time.
And, you know, as they talk about in Fighting With My Family, you got to be yourself, just turned up to 11. And being an old-timey newsman that works for a newspaper, I thought I'd just call myself Scoops, Stewie Scoops Kavanagh. And I don't have a catchphrase or a really good description like both of you guys came to the party.
You know
what
you could do? You could have an old timey newsboy hat as your outfit. Yeah. And you could like drop a newspaper in with like extra so and so news, man, like and fuck them up after that. That'll be an old
read all about it. The Oracle was wrong.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. Yeah,
it is. Right, well, we've had a bit of fun, but Stewie, you're not getting out of this. We're still gonna do the proper prompt as well.
All right,
but it isn't so much about, you know, a movie about wrestling. Instead, you know, obviously, Fighting With My Family is a movie about Paige. And so the prompt this week is, if you could have a movie get made about a sports star, an athlete, a movie about their life, who would you want? Who would you want a movie to be made about?
Movie star, a sports star, I don't know. I think I've covered that on other ones by going off script. So I'll do the same with this. And I want to see a biopic about Stephen Merchant and about how he's really the brains behind an operation that gives a lot of credit to the other guy who's the loud, brash stand-up comedian of the two.
I would watch that. I would watch a Stephen Merchant documentary. Biopic. That's not what we're talking about. Biopic.
I watched a documentary about him as well.
Yeah, but like, God. Yeah. Yeah, do them both. Fuck it.
Yep.
yeah, that's that would be a fascinating biopic to watch and or documentary. My one is about, so we've established during this podcast I was a wrestling fan, pretty heavy wrestling fan during this era. And I have to say that there was a one-legged wrestler, a literal amputee guy. His name was Zach Gowen, and he made it all the way to WWE and had a pretty decent run, and I feel like that would be kind of a fascinating story to see. Unfortunately, his WWE run was ended. I'm sure there was other reasons that it ended, but on screen it was ended by a brutal attack from none other than Brock Lesnar. And it's just a memory that is stuck in my mind of Brock Lesnar beating up a one-legged man. So, yeah, I would I'd love to see that biopic.
That would be a good one, actually. I want to change my answer. Like, a full serious – I know it's kind of been done as a movie already, but, like, a thing about Roddy Piper would be a really good biopic. I think he'd make it – he's got a fascinating guy and make a really good story.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great.
Yeah.
May he rest in peace.
I reckon I'd like to have a movie. I've been thinking about people whose, like, you know, careers are, you know, held in such high regard, who have achieved so much. And one person who has sprung to mind, and, you know, just recently because he has retired, is Tom Brady. I think that, you know, to have a biopic, I reckon there will be a movie made about him in time. So maybe this is a bit of a cop-out because I think that there will already be a movie made about him in a few years' time. But I reckon a movie about him, about his life, about his time in the NFL, for instance, and just, you know, being someone who is always at the top of his game, is a known winner. I think that, you know, to document his life, such a long career as well, at the top level, I think that would be really good to be explored on film.
Absolutely. The many Super Bowl rings and retirements of Tom Brady. That'd be a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't give my IMDb rating. I know that the listeners of Goals on Film were worried that this was going to be a segment that we cut, but don't worry. Stewie's IMDb rating is back, and I have just gone with... basically, the average. The average is 7.1 out of 10. I gave it a 7 out of 10. And, you know, there's no bad movies that are 7 out of 10. So on my ratings anyway, I don't know about IMDb average ratings, but as far as my ratings go, they're public. Go check them out. All the 7 out of 10s are good movies. And if you don't think they're good movies, you can at me and I'll tell you why you're wrong.
All right. Well, on that note, that does now bring us to the end of the episode. So, Stewie, Kieran, would you like to tell our listeners where they can at you and where they can see or find any of your other work?
Yeah, you can find me at Captain Yap or just under my full name, Kieran Yap, on Twitter or Instagram. And you can find me at Edge of the Crowd, where I am doing a podcast on the Succession series with Stewie.
You can find me on Edge of the Crowd, where I am doing a Succession podcast, wait for it, with Kieran. And it's a good time. If you like Succession, you got to check it out. Final season, we're very excited about it. And it's a fantastic listen, if I may say so myself. Also, you can find me on Twitter if you want to argue with me about my IMDb ratings, at Stewie is sick of it. Find me on Instagram, at Stewie the Sports Guy. You want to see my cat Moxie, my ex-cat Moxie that I sadly had to give away? You can find a video of her at Stewie the Sports Guy on TikTok too. Also write for the Barrier Truth and occasionally chuck some words together for Edge of the Crowd. So, yeah, basically that's where you can find me. Jace, where can we find you, pal?
Yeah, well, you can find me on a Succession podcast.
You got to watch it first, mate.
True. No, I'm unfortunately not on that podcast, but do give it a listen if you've got time. But if you do want to find me on socials, I am at Jace Erst on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. You've been listening to Goals on Film. You can find Goals on Film on Twitter and Instagram at Goals on Film Pod. You can also see any of our weekly video highlights on our Goals on Film YouTube channel by typing in Goals on Film. Goals on Film is part of the Edge of the Crowd network. You can find Edge of the Crowd on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and LinkedIn at Edge of the Crowd. You can also view any of our stories on edgeofthecrowd.com. That's politics, sport, and culture stories. If you do get a chance, please give us a 5-star rating on Spotify so that we can continue to keep doing these episodes week in, week out. And if you have any recommendations for any movies that we should do, we are very happy to hear it. Thank you for listening, and we will catch you next week.